I have, I guess we could call this a room full of Blue Heron Middle School students. I can read all their names. I'll read all their names once here, and then we will hear from them stories they have, I believe. Poems, written words of various sorts, that much we know. We always prepare for these segments so that I know what's coming for sure. Oh, look, we have a text. These are all sixth graders from the Writers in the Schools program. Is that what it is? Writers. I'm going to read from their Desert Island notebook. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 students. Samara Kingfisher. Where's Samara? Your dad named Eric? I know your dad. Bailey Mills. Who's Bailey? Oh, Bailey, I should just look at these. This, I much admire the fact that Brett Navin, who is their teacher and brought them here, made, not only did he make name tags, he made them really big so I can really see them. I'm not going to look at this. What the heck? Sam Mugridge, Zen Cook, Renee O'Donnell. Oh, you're right, Rennie. It says Rennie, doesn't it? Isabella Nunn and Rowan Santre. Oh, I was close. Who's going to read first? You over there. Okay, your microphone is turned on. Tell me first what you're reading and how the idea came for it.
So I'm reading a poem I wrote called Mistress Knight. I was away for most of the WITS program, but then on the day I came back, we were doing a free write, and then I started this, and then I asked if I could turn it into a poem instead of writing a new poem, and the instructor said, sure. So I came up with this.
May we hear it, please?
Yeah. I respect the night. Her darkness creeps into the hearts of the human race, encouraging them to see the evil they refuse to believe. Scaring, spooking, teaching those whom do not desire to be taught. Yet, however, she also comforts and cradles those who need her or simply know her as a friend. The soothing heartbeat that that tells us to run and to stay and dance in swirling patterns across the sky. Constellations guard you from what you think you fear, for night has friends and acquaintances that are not as cruel nor as forgiving. The pale moon's face smiles at the cage night is kept in, Earth's night, only respected within the glass walls of our atmosphere. Night should be respected more, feared more, thanked more. She's the cloak that holds the sky together when the sun has gone to frolic with others. Our guardian, that wakes the crickets and the stars, commands the moon and quiets cars. Dewy lips whisper for us to hide and to run to embrace her. I respect the night.
Samara, do your parents know what you're doing right now?
Yeah.
And did they tell you that both of them have been on the show?
Yeah. Well, no, I just knew that.
You knew it anyway?
Yeah.
I think your mom was on around the very first Women's March.
Yeah, she was. She did a thing about the Women's March, and I was in the background trying to keep my little sister quiet.
You were here then?
Yeah.
Yourself, you were here?
Yeah.
I remember that now. Well, nice to see you again. Who's going to read next? Bailey Mills. Step closer to the microphone, please, Bailey Mills. What have you for us?
I have a poem like Samara. I did these in the WITS program, and every day we do a different type of poem. So this one is, how does the day feel to the night? Does it feel like a soft blanket putting you to sleep or a sharp knife waking you up? It feels like an alarm striking your mind out of sleep. The night complains to me, I wish the sun was just another quiet star in my sky. I ask, what does the day feel like to you? He replies, it feels like parents forcing me into a deep sleep. The night asks me what the day feels like to me. I say, it feels like a bright door opening up for a new day.
Do you remember when you were really a little girl and your parents wanted you to go to bed and you didn't want to?
Yeah.
Did you kind of struggle with them about that?
Sometimes.
Is it? It's not the same way now, is it?
No.
Now it's like, I want to go to bed.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Bailey. And Sam. Mugridge. Sam, please, if you're going to sit, then, yeah, move that microphone down a little bit. That will work out. I hope that's not somebody's alarm system. It is somebody's alarm system, but it went off. Okay, Sam, tell me what you're reading.
I'm reading How the Coffee Feels to the Donut.
You're reading what?
How the Coffee Feels to the Donut.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to hear about this.
Yeah. Should I just?
Well, please.
As a donut whispers lies into the beholder's mouth, it stares down into the top of a coffee mug. It stares back, beginning to cackle. The coffee mug stares harder, deep into the donut's eyes. As the donut screams, the man dunks his snack into the coffee, then pulls it back out. The donut's eyes roll back and life fades away. Meanwhile, the man takes a big bite of the donut. He continues reading the local paper.
Mr. Sam, that's quite an unusual story to tell.
Yeah.
Remember when that idea came to you?
Yeah. That day I was feeling kind of grumpy and I wanted something bad to happen to the donut. But then, as I started writing it, I thought, well, this would be pretty good if it was funny. So I kind of made it die.
You could read a whole book of, yeah. write a whole book, I mean, of donuts and coffee.
Yeah.
You can imagine that, a great big thick book of all the different things that can happen to donuts and coffee.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch for that book. But why were you grumpy?
I don't know. I was tired, probably.
Uh-huh. Well, you don't seem grumpy today.
Oh, no, I'm really happy, actually.
Glad to have you here, and I'm glad you're happy. Somebody has a birthday today besides me. Who is it? It is you. Are you going to read later?
Yeah.
Isabella? Okay, well, wait till Ilse, and then I can... Did you hear Laura Love sing Happy Birthday? Oh, my Lord. What? I've never been sung Happy Birthday like that before. Pretty special. Move your hand away from... Thank you very much. You knew what I needed. Your name is Zen Cook. And you will speak into this microphone, and I will get towards you a bit. Tell me, so all these stories have a common theme. You can actually raise that up, just, yeah, upwards. There you go. It's going to be fine. I appreciate the fact that you all are here to have a good time, and you're not the least bit nervous. You shouldn't be, you know. This is just like a living room with your teacher and a whole bunch of your friends, right, and me, and I'm not causing trouble. What's your story?
Okay, I'm going to be reading a poem that I wrote in Wits. And, well, I was just, like, thinking about, it's kind of like Sam, I don't really like writing poems as much, so I was just, like, I want pain, kind of, in this. So I kind of was thinking about bad things that happen to other objects. So I wrote, how does the lock feel to the chest?
How does the lock feel to the chest? It could be a riddle, but go ahead.
Okay. It feels like ball and chain around the leg. This is what the chest answered when questioned. Many are ponderers, but I'm the asker. I question the chest. Like a gut feeling weighing you down, it replied sincerely. Like being framed, chained, and not able to explain. Finally, I began to understand. Is it like being put on a roller coaster unwillingly? More like the bar that holds you in. Then it said, think of it as a curse that holds you down, like fate ending in punishment. These days, when someone wonders how the lock feels to the chest, I tell them that it feels like ball and chain around the leg, a gut feeling weighing you down, like being framed, chained, and not able to explain, a curse holding you down, or like fate ending in punishment.
Tell me the last book that you read.
Reading the Lord of the Rings series.
Uh-huh. You like that kind of imagination?
Yeah.
You like imagination?
Yeah.
You have imagination?
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, okay. So I believe it's going to be Rowan is next, and Rowan, whose name I mispronounced. You step to that microphone right there, and maybe... Yeah, you can raise it up, and it will probably, that's close enough. And what have you? Apparently, we're mostly into poems today.
Yeah, mostly poems, so I do have another poem for you.
That's all right, I like poems for me.
Okay, so my poem is called The School Who Accepted Me, and I would just like to say this poem is actually out to all my friends at Blue Heron, because I wrote it when I was thinking of them and when I moved from Port Orchard.
So you're a new person to the community?
Yes, I am.
You like it here better than Port Orchard?
Yes and no. I like it here a lot, but I also kind of miss my friends.
Mm-hmm. Are you regretting that you missed the tornado?
No.
Did you know about the tornado?
Yeah, I did. I was actually kind of scared because it landed close to one of my friend's houses.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But your friend is okay?
Yeah, she's fine.
Mm-hmm. Not many tornadoes come to Port Orchard.
Yeah, it was kind of odd.
But even fewer than Port Townsend. You're safer here, I think.
Yes.
Could you read, please?
Okay. The School Who Accepted Me. You accepted me like a daughter. You have raised me the best you can. You gave me friends, people who accept me for who I am. You gave me knowledge, a place to learn. I am saying thanks for all you've given me. You gave me something to look forward to. You gave me love, love that I will never forget. I will never forget you. I can never imagine a life without you. You gave me a warm, happy place to learn on a cold, frosty day. You gave me a place where when I look out through the window, the sun shines on me and my classmates. Classmates who accept me, laugh with me, learn with me. You gave me teachers who teach me, care about me, and accept me. So I say thank you for all you for accepting me, loving me, your daughter.
Can I read something?
Sure.
Your t-shirt. It says, I'm a cookie-selling, song-singing, camp-loving, badge-earning Girl Scout in troop number 442. I can't see the rest of it. 401. I like that t-shirt.
Thank you.
Thank you for your story, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your poem, actually. Next up, she's ready to stand to the microphone, and she's tall enough to stand right to it. And, yes, that's exactly what I needed. Rennie.
Yep.
I got it that time. O'Donnell. Mm-hmm. Now, O'Donnell. I know some O'Donnells around here.
I have a brother named Finn O'Donnell.
Yeah. And you have a mother named?
Kate Dean.
Yes. Well, I happen to. You know that your dad was on the show last week.
Really?
Yeah, really. I'm not lying to you. He was. He was talking about the PUD.
Yeah.
And your mom's been on the show before, too. And as I look at you, you know who I see?
Both of them?
Your mom, really.
Okay.
What do you have for us today?
I have a poem that I wrote about my trip to Iceland this summer.
Oh, I want to hear about Iceland.
Okay, well, this is only kind of half true. Some of it I made up. But.
I want to hear whatever you have.
Okay, it's called Summer Wind. Wind blowing, my eyes half shut from the 4-hour flight from Ireland. The cold summer wind feels good against me, as jet-lagged as I am. We had left Ireland late, and we arrived in Iceland early. The summer wind blows harshly from the south, almost penetrating my cold, shut-tightly eyelids. The bus that takes us to the airport arrives, and I collapse on the luggage rack. My bag pulls on my arm until I drop it on my brother's toe. Oops. Ish. I must have fallen asleep, because the next thing I know, I'm back in the freezing, blowing summer wind. I feel the heat radiating from the airport. I reach out my arm before realizing that my arm, reached out, has my bag on it. I drop my bag. Kindness. A man picks up my bag. He hands my bag to me, and I open my mouth to thank him. But he's gone. Lost, with the memories that the summer wind blows away.
There's a song called The Summer Wind. Have you ever heard it? I probably have not heard it, but you could find it on YouTube.
Okay.
I recommend it because it sounds a lot like what you've written. And I realize now that I have all of you. Because Finn has been on the show, too.
Really?
Yeah, really. And now, why, I don't remember.
Okay.
But he has. You could ask him. He'd remember, I bet.
Maybe.
I think he would. He's a smart kid, you know, just like you. And I think you have the most fabulous pink cheeks I've ever seen.
Oh, thanks.
Yes, you're welcome. That's cool. You wouldn't be able to know that of me, would you? Too much hair in the face. Isabella, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, step up to the microphone and... So, you were probably born, this is 18, you were probably born in about 2007.
Yes, that's correct.
Did I actually guess correctly?
Yes.
That kind of surprises me, because as you could tell, I was just guessing. What have you to read?
I have to read my Desert Island Journal entry number, oops, that's the wrong one, number 5. And Desert Island is... a project that we do in ELA class, language arts, every year. And what happens in Desert Island is we get stranded on a desert island and we have to find our way to survive and make it through the whole simulation and escape.
You must have escaped because you're here right now.
Yes, we have.
Okay, please read to me.
Okay. Today was interesting. Well, I was working on my fishing pole. I heard a scream. I ran outside, and there was Alex with an eel on his face. What in the world? I said. Alex yelled, help me! But of course this was muffled because of the eel on his face. I picked up a big stick and moved it off his face, and he said, hey, never noticed that before. Then I look up to see an apple tree. It turned out the eel had made him better. For those of you who don't know, Alex was sick. Aaliyah came back from hunting It was my turn to watch Alex. Her wolf had gotten 4 rabbits, and about dawn, Eden came back. He was sopping wet. What happened to you? I asked. I was floating on a log and got carried away, he said. but I found an eagle. And that's the end of my daily journal number 5.
Well, I'm glad you survived. I'd like to know, there's a bunch of you, so one of you, or two of you, or three could answer the question, what is WITS, WITS? It's Writers in the School, but who organizes this? Isabella, please, you don't even need to raise your hand. You can just look right at me.
A group of writers from Seattle comes, I think they're also in Seattle, and they come to Blue Heron, and they have a whole bunch for all the different grade levels. And I think that in the sixth grade, we write poems. And then I'm not sure what they do in the seventh grade. But in the eighth grade, they write true stories. Stories.
And tell me about this desert island. Did all of you have to write something about a desert island?
Yes.
And you all managed to escape?
Well,
you have to stand up so that you can... We can hear you.
Well, some of us didn't escape because you have to get a certain, it involves getting luck because we have to draw these cards that say, you find a lobster colony, you get plus 3 points for food. And, you can't go into negatives with food. There's, a few point categories and you get certain kinds of points. And subtracting points by certain things, getting certain things, and you have to write your daily journals. And in order to escape, you have to have a certain amount of points in each category and draw a certain card. Or, in the case for my group, you don't draw the right challenge card, but the right card to help you escape. But you have so many points overall that you can invent your own story of escaping the island, which is fun.
And who made this game up, do you know?
I'm pretty sure it was Miss Nagy.
Yeah, Miss Nagy.
Miss Nagy, our ELA teacher.
One of your teachers?
Yeah.
Oh, very clever.
It's uh-huh.
And which one of you may someday be a professional writer and have his or her, you think you, Samara?
I'm not sure exactly, but I really like writing. But I'm not really sure. I'm considering trying to write a novel because I have a million first chapters of books scattered around my room somewhere. So, yeah, I don't really know. I'm considering being a novelist, but I don't really know.
So how about you, Zen Cook? Do you find yourself wanting to write, just feeling like you need to get up to the microphone too, but driven to write? You seem to write with... You don't?
I don't really enjoy writing because I always have trouble with it, and it's just not really enjoyable for me.
So what is enjoyable for you?
I like doing sports and stuff.
Uh-huh. You like being physically active?
Even though I'm short, I like doing sports.
Well, do you play soccer?
Yeah.
That's a good sport for somebody who isn't very tall.
Yeah, I do soccer and basketball.
Uh-huh. And so things that are physically active suit you better. Isabella, I need to talk to you about birthdays. So we... established that you were born in 07, which means that you are now 12 years old. What is your family going to do with you today, do for you? What's celebration in mind?
Nothing really special. I'm having a bigger party with my friends on the 19th. But we're just going to have some people who are really close to my family come over for dinner.
Tonight?
Yes.
Ooh, what's on the menu?
Hamburgers.
Homemade hamburgers?
Yes.
Ooh. On the grill?
Yes.
Ooh, can I come over?
I'm not sure. I have to check in.
I actually have been invited out already, but I'm not too proud to invite myself, as you can see. And what do you like to do when you're not writing?
I like to read. I really enjoy reading. And I also have a lot of other after-school programs that I enjoy doing, like Girls Boat Project. We actually came in here and talked to you about boat stories with some other women who were involved in the boat marine.
I should remember this, shouldn't I? But I don't think I did. I want to talk to Rennie next, because I want to hear your impressions of Iceland. Would you want to live in Iceland? That's okay.
Not really. I like the cold, but it's just
Well, actually, we went to this comedy show, and apparently everybody walks, like, with their back really crooked, and people eat a bunch of lamb, and I'm a vegetarian, so I don't think I could live there.
It's pretty hard to grow vegetables in rocks.
Yeah.
And that's about what there is to choose. I guess you can, the sheep must graze.
I think so, but...
But for cropland, not much chance. Why are you vegetarian?
I'm not sure. I just don't like the taste of most meat. Uh-huh.
It's a choice that way. It's not like for various, I will say, ethical reasons.
I don't know.
Don't know. You don't need to know. You just get to do what you want because you get to eat it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
My brother wanted to do it, so I just said I'd help him out this year again. Mm-hmm.
I remember your brother being lots of fun on the radio.
He's not that fun sometimes, but, you know. I mean, he's my brother, so.
And his age relative to yours, I don't remember how old he is.
He's 15 now.
Yeah, so he's, and you are?
11.
Yeah, I see. I have a son who's that much older than my daughter. And when they were about your age, they squabbled. But, you know, now they don't squabble at all. They're best friends.
We haven't fought in a while, but, I mean, you know. Mm-hmm. We're brother and sister, so.
So your mom is county commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like being the daughter of one of three elected officials, county commissioners?
Oh, she talks to every single person. Like, if she sees somebody, she will, like, the person will want to talk to her. And she will talk for maybe half an hour sometimes. And I have to walk my dog with her sometimes. And the walks are usually a lot longer than they're supposed to be. So.
I have joked, I have, as you now know, two children also, mm-hmm. although they are 34 and 30 years old. So children they are not any longer. But parents, I think that the notion is that grown-ups have to be patient with their children. I think children have to be patient with their parents. And I know that even though I'm not a county commissioner, I know that my children would get really exasperated when I would get into a conversation and they would want to go. The same thing. Anyway, I hope you're patient with your mom. She's a good lady.
I try to be.
Thank you very much for doing that. And I want to thank you all for being here. This is fun. Brett, step up to the microphone. Thank I want you. To thank you and have you say you're welcome or something. How's the school year going for you?
It's a great year at Blue Heron. We have a new principal, Teresa Campbell. It's just a great year. The kids have been awesome.
You bring the best, I'm sure, here to toss salad.
We do bring the best. Yeah. These kids, obviously, what they've written is very good. And so it's easy to pull them out. It was hard to narrow it down mm-hmm. to the requested six or seven.
Yeah, it makes for better radio and organization. I think it is good to have the number. Last year, it was more like circus on the radio. This year, I think we have it managed, and I appreciate that.
Yeah,
we get to know the kids a little bit, too. We get to talk to them individually. Thank you for putting it together. You're going to be on again in a month. No, because a month takes us to a holiday. You're going to be on, do you know when this is?
I don't remember.
Oh, let me tell you.
Indeed.
Well, why don't you tell me why you're a teacher while I look on my phone here to get the answer to your question. Why did you turn out? You could have been a doctor, a lawyer, a business executive, and here you are as a teacher. Why?
Kids are more fun than.
You have to answer longer.
Right. Kids are a lot of fun. It's great to see them on a daily basis in all their growth process. Mm. Just the maturation is just a lot of fun to be around. And talking to them and sharing and uh-huh. helping them figure a lot of things out.
Yeah, my daughter is a teacher, too. Yeah. So I have you on the 8th of February because you would have otherwise been the 15th, but that is a holiday for school. You told me. You better be true. So it's the 8th that you're going to bring another group or the same group.
8th of February will be a different group. Different group of witch writers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
This was all 6th graders.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have 7th and 8th graders that also participated in the program. And a lot of them are great writers also.
Okay. So we'll bring them on. So, Brett and Nathan, thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
I want everybody to stand so I can see your name tag, so I can say thank you to Samara Kingfisher, Bailey Mills, Sam Mugridge, Zen Cook, Rennie O'Donnell, Isabella Nunn, happy birthday one more time. Rowan, say it.
Santerre.
Thank you, Rowan. You all have a wonderful time for the rest of your lives and the day, too.
Great. Thanks, Phil. Mm-hmm. And thanks to you guys for being willing to take time out of your Fridays. And parents, you as well.
Oh, your parents. Oh, there are some parents in the room.
There are parents here.
Aha. That's the way parents are. I know about that.